Trumos, Perek Yud, Mishnah, Yud Aleph, 10:11. In the previous Mishnah, we had said that when it comes to vegetables, if they're pickling together, we're not concerned about them transferring taste one to the other, except for potent-tasting vegetables like onions, etc. Mishnah Yud Aleph is actually a direct continuation of that Mishnah and presents four Tanaim who disagree with the previous Mishnah. Now, what are they disagreeing with? The Mishnah Yud, number 10, had said that when you pickle vegetables, they don't transfer taste. The implication being, if you would cook vegetables together, they would transfer taste. Cooking being a more intense activity in terms of extracting and transferring taste than pickling alone. Now, each of the four Tanaim in this Mishnah are going to say that even cooking vegetables won't transfer taste, perhaps with some exceptions, as we'll see in the Mishnah. So there'll be four different shittas about being even more lenient and saying that cooking simply by vegetables isn't enough even. The halacha will follow none of these shittas. The halacha will be like the previous Mishnah that, well, pickling vegetables of, you know, bland vegetables doesn't create a problem. Cooking them together, meaning if you have one vegetable that's truma or meiser sheni or hekdesh or whatever the story is, shvius, then it certainly will make the other vegetables that are being cooked with it to be forbidden with the same restrictions. So here the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol nishlakin im hatradim asurim, b'pnei shehem nosin esatam. Rabbi Yossi says, if you cook things, now, shalika, nishlakin, means to like overcook. Like in the, if you imagine when you make your soup, so at the end of the, in the pot, the bottom of the pot, there's like the vegetables at the bottom, that's shalika, like overcooked, smushy stuff at the bottom of the pot after you boil it up. So Rabbi Yossi says, even if you do shlika and overcook vegetables together, there's no problem except for if it's done with tradim. Tradim are beets. In modern Hebrew, teret is spinach, but here it presumably means beets. So the beets have a potent taste when they're cooked together, and therefore if the beets are the source of iser, then they will forbid whatever else is in the pot cooking with them. But other vegetables aside from beets, not a problem. So while Rav Yossi says that beets put out taste and therefore can forbid, the next sheet of Rav Shimon is concerned, he agrees with that in principle, but he actually focuses on a different type of vegetable, and that is cabbages here. But he's talking about cabbages of two different types. He's going to differentiate between cabbages that were grown in a rain water field, meaning a field that's been watered by the rain naturally, and an irrigated field which had to be manually watered. And although it might be counterintuitive to our 21st century minds, a irrigated field is going to produce less succulent vegetables because they don't have sprinkler systems, of course. Watering the vegetables meant going to the well and dragging water and bringing it to the vegetables. And that being the case, they would be certainly relatively underwatered. So his concern is that if you have, let's say, two different vegetables, cabbages, one that was cultivated in a rain-watered field, it'll be more moist, and the other one, which was cultivated in a irrigated, manually watered field, that cabbage will be relatively dry, and therefore the relatively dry cabbage will absorb moisture, taking it from the moist cabbage, and if the moist cabbage is the source of iser, so then it'll be absorbed by the relatively dry cabbage that was cultivated in an irrigated field. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says. Inside the words are, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kruv shel shikya. If you have a cabbage that came from a irrigated, meaning a manually watered field, that's cooking together with im kruv shel baal, that was in a pot with a cabbage that was from a rain watered field. Baal, referring to a base of baal, a field that relied on rainwater. Asur, that cabbage that grew in the heter cabbage that grew in the manually irrigated field becomes aser mipnei shehu boleya, because it absorbs, meaning it absorbs flavor from the other cabbage that grew in the rainwater field, and assuming that cabbage was a source of iser, that iser now transfers to the cabbage that was in the irrigated field because it absorbs it. Fine. The third shita is Rabbi Yehuda. The bartender has the gears of Rabbi Akiva, but in any case, Rabbi Yehuda, or in the context of bartender, Rabbi Kiva says, kol ha-misbash lam ze em ze. If two things are cooked together, and the bartender speaks out, we're talking about things that are of the exact same species, like meaning two cabbages together etc. So mutarim, we're not concerned, says Rabbi Yehuda, with the taste transference, because the taste is the same for both, and it's not significant. So if you have two of the same types, cabbages, pickles, whatever, in the jar, one of them, in the pot, not jar, cooking in a pot, and one of them is has restrictions, iser, truma, whatever, and one is heter, there's no problem, mutarim. The other ones, the source that were originally heter, remain heter. Elim habasar, the exception is meat. If you have two pieces of meat, one is kosher meat, one is treif meat, cooking together in a pot, so meat does put out an absorbed taste, and that being the case, even if it's the same kind of meat, but one, let's say, was shechted properly and one wasn't, so then everything in the pot becomes usher, you need 60 times against, etc. The halacha, again, follows none of those shitas. The halacha is that anything cooked together, the tastes transfer, and it's a problem. The last shita here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he is going to take an even more lenient position and say that when it comes to liver, so liver is, in the Chazal's mind, is like totally suffused with blood through and through. And that being the case, in his conception, what's happening is the liver is totally relentlessly being polet, expelling blood. And since it's always expelling blood, it's not available to reabsorb blood. And that being the case, if you would have a liver cooking in a pot that has not kosher meat, the liver would not absorb any of the forbidden components and would remain mutter. That's what Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says. Hakaved oseres, when it comes to liver, it can make something else in a pot forbidden because it's putting out the blood. And then an aseres, but it itself doesn't become forbidden because mifnei shehi poletes, it's constantly expelling blood. Vena bolas, but doesn't, and therefore it doesn't absorb anything. The halacha is not like this at all. The halacha is, when it comes to liver, there's actually no way to cook it in a pot. We're concerned that the blood it expels gets reabsorbed into it and stuck there. And of course, you can't have blood. And that being the case, you can never cook liver. The only way to eat liver is if it's roasted directly over an open fire, and not through salting, etc., but just through roasting, and whatever blood that is expelled out of the liver kind of drips down. And that not like this Tana, that is, I described it, is the only way halachically to have kosher liver.